This morning, we're going to look at the last paragraph in chapter 4, all of chapter 5, and the first paragraph in chapter 6. So 4 through 6-3 is our focus. And we are making our way through a series in Deuteronomy. And this morning, we're going to be slightly brief because we have three people who are coming for baptism. And so I will try to offer a bit of a compressed overview of these three chapters or so. But what we see in Deuteronomy is this is Moses' final words, and he begins by retelling the law. And so he is in the last 2 months of his life. Moses is 119 or so and about to turn 120. And this is the final 2 months of his life, as we have seen. And God has warned him that his death is about to come, and so he is sharing with the people all that is on his heart before he enters into glory. And so last week, Ben took us through a really intense focus on who God is and the uniqueness of his nature. And now Moses, in this final chapter, or in this final, in this section that we're on, he begins by retelling what we would essentially know as the Ten Commandments. And so there's a bit of an introduction here in the final portion of chapter 4. We then get all of the Ten Commandments. There's then a response of the people that Moses highlights, God's answer to that response, and then a final summary of what the law is. So essentially what we find here is a highlighting of the point that God's covenant relationship with Israel is founded upon what happened at Mount Sinai and the covenant, which we know as the Ten Commandments, which maybe you know or maybe you don't know, God spoke all of the Ten Commandments to the entire nation first. Before they were written, God physically spoke to an entire nation of people, audibly, such that everyone heard this. So the Ten Commandments are spoken first and foremost before they were ever written. And so we see, as we begin in the final couple of verses, look with me at chapter 4, verses 44 to 46. We see Moses describing the law in a couple different ways, and he says this. Moses, this is the law that Moses set before the people of Israel. These are the testimonies, the statutes, the rules which Moses spoke to the people of Israel when they came out of Egypt beyond the Jordan. So a couple of things to notice here. Testimonies, you see that word. These are the testimonies. Law is not merely commandments. It actually is more of the working of God in his people. And so these are the testimonies. They're also statutes. They're also rules. But there's a lot of relational words here wrapped up into not the law only, but rather it's a testimony of God's activity among his people, which in just a few minutes you're going to hear a testimony by each of the baptism candidates on what God has done in their own lives personally. So as we think about why do we even need to pay attention to the Ten Commandments, one thing to see is this is the foundation of God's relationship with his people. It's God speaking the expectations that he has for his people. And notice that they are out of slavery. So the first observation in this particular paragraph is that this was spoken outside of Egypt. God first set them free, and then he entered into a covenant relationship with them. So the freedom came first from slavery, delivered from Egypt, and then the covenant was spoken. And so the promised land has begun to unfold before the people. We just sang it. God will never fail. His word is faithful. He has always been faithful in the past. He always will be in the future. And so what we see is they're outside of slavery. They have begun to enter into the promised land. And that final paragraph in chapter 4 highlights two victories over two Amorite kings, which were part of the people that God had given to them. So God is beginning to reveal to the people, I'm working. Things are happening. And I think we might all say, God does not always work as fast as we wish he would, right? Anybody in the room can resonate with that. We probably want him to do a whole lot more than he's doing. But what we see here, this is a gradual process. Just like sanctification in our lives is a gradual process. We sometimes yearn for sanctification to happen all at once. We want God to get going, moving, come on, let's do some things. And yet, there's a process. And so we see the process has begun in the opening paragraph of chapter 4. And then Moses now summons all of Israel at the beginning of chapter 5. I'm not going to read all of this. I hope you've got your copy of Scripture. You can follow along. But he summons the people together, and there's a couple of words that sort of stand out. Ben highlighted a couple of words last week. That these are kind of similar. Verse 1 in chapter 5, hear, O Israel. The Hebrew word is the Shema. Steve is going to talk about that a little bit more next week, but we begin to see this repetition of hearing is so important to faith, right? One of the reasons we gather every week is to hear the truths of God's word, because through hearing comes faith. So through the listening to God's word, faith is granted. But he says, hear, O Israel, these statutes and rules in your hearing today. He says it twice, that you learn them so that you can be careful to do them, because the Lord has made a covenant with us. And this took place at Mount Horeb, which is also the same name for Mount Sinai. So when you hear Horeb and Sinai, think one mountain, the place where God spoke to Israel. And Moses reminds them that God spoke face to face. He came down in visible presence that everyone could see and was there before them, speaking to them physically, audibly, through fire. So when you have an image, what is the image that appears in your mind? Moses tells us that when God originally spoke, he descended on the mountain, at the top of the mountain, in cloud and fire, and a thick darkness was surrounding that. So imagine a campfire off kind of in the distance, but massive and consuming, shaking the top of the mountain. That's what we see God is doing before the people as he is speaking to them. And then the last paragraph, that first paragraph in chapter 5, Moses reminds them, and I stood between you and God. I stood between you and him and shared with you his words. And then he now lists, starting in verse 6 of chapter 5, the Ten Commandments. And so we're going to go through them quickly and simply be reminded what is the purpose of the Ten Commandments. Do they still have any relevance for us today? It is quite astounding that these principles are still foundational for our entire legal system. This is the governing principles for what it means to live in a just society. And it begins with God saying, I delivered you out of Egypt. I brought you to myself so that you could be my people. And he says, I am your God who set you free. Therefore, you shall have no other gods before me. So commandment number one has to do with God being placed as a priority in our lives. That principle is still applicable for us as Christians. I brought you out of slavery. I set you free from death, being dominated by death, so that you could be in a relationship with me. Therefore, love me above all other gods, because no one else has delivered you. That's the truth. No other deliverance is possible for anyone except through the power of the Lord God Almighty. And so he says, number one, love me above all else. Number two, he says, no graven images. Don't make idols. Don't make any kind of carved image. And the real sort of significance of this is God is limitless. He is boundless, so anything that has boundaries, anything that has limits, does not accurately explain his nature or his character. He is completely infinite, and so he says, don't think that I can be contained in any kind of formed image or shaped images, and he also says, don't bow down to them. So that's commandment number two. That's still valid for us. Don't think of God as being limited or contained in a particular place, fully, or thing. God is limitless and boundless. And therefore, thirdly, he says, respect my name. Do not take my name in vain. Because my name represents my character, don't abuse it. And don't manipulate the name of God either. And we often, if you were, you know, maybe it's a fun conversation over dinner. What does it mean to take the Lord's name in vain? Because sometimes we say things, have you ever heard this? Well, God told me to do this or told me to tell you to do this and therefore you ought to do this. Has anybody ever told you that? Sometimes people can twist the name of God in order to give credence to their own desires. And we can do that to ourselves, by the way. We can deceive ourselves in the same way. We have to be careful upon the name of God. So it's not merely using God's name in a false way, but it's a manipulating or any kind of selfish vanity expressed through the use of God's name. So that's the third commandment. Fourth commandment is keep the Sabbath day holy. And there's a large explanation here, right? Observe the Sabbath day, keep it holy. For 6 days you shall work, 6 days you shall work, and on the seventh day it is a day set apart to the Lord, he says. So this is not only do you work, the Lord knows you gotta work. We have to go out and till the ground. We gotta make food. We gotta put bread on the table. So you got 6 days to do that. And then God says, but I get one of those days. One out of seven I get. And hear the blessing, because he says in describing the Sabbath day, you shall remember your previous slavery. So he's speaking to an entire nation who used to be enslaved in Egypt. And he says, remember that you used to work hard every day. You used to be enslaved and you're no longer enslaved. So one day out of seven, you relax. And it is a day focused on me. Now, we have to figure out, this is a principle we need to embrace. How do we do that? How do we remove ourselves from our customary work one day out of seven and then focus our hearts and devotions on the Lord, because he's the one who set us free? So every one out of 7 days, every one of us who are Christians should remember, I used to be enslaved in sin. I used to be enslaved to things that were not fruitful. And now today, I remember I have been set free. Today, as the seventh day, is a day of remembering the freedom that we have from being enslaved to sin. And this is a fact we have to tell ourselves again and again and again, because you have an enemy who will tell you, you are not set free from sin. You are enslaved to it. You will never be free from that. You are bound forever, and it's not true. And so the Lord says, one out of seven, remember, I have set you free, and relax and don't work. I think this also is for us as a busy society. This can be a challenge, right? How do we rest? Our bodies need rest. And this gift of a Sabbath is something we should find a way to embrace. So for me, example, I work on Sundays. I don't on Mondays. Mondays is my Sabbath day. It's the day off for all of us as staff, off on Monday. We don't answer I don't answer the phone. I don't look at the computer. I take a break from work on Monday. But we have to find a way to embrace a principle that allows us to rest. So that's what the fourth commandment is. Fifth commandment, honor your parents. How many of you find it's easier to honor one parent over the other? And yet, this commandment says both parents are to be honored, your mother and your father. So I wonder, how do we as Christians, and remember, Deuteronomy is a book that Jesus most often quoted from. These are principles our Savior embraced. So if we want to be followers of Jesus, we need to figure out how to follow him in doing the same way. Because he reprimanded the Pharisees for saying, well, we've been saving up some money, but we're going to give it to the church, so to speak. We don't have to give that to mom and dad. And Jesus said, you need to take care of your parents. You are making void the commandment of God by giving yourselves credit for giving contributions to the church. Take care of your parents. So honor your parents. And if there's any teens in the room, there are seasons in life when it's really hard to honor your parents, right? I remember those days. I remember I thought, you know, when you're little, you think your parents are gods. You get into teen years and you think they're the village idiots. And then when you get on a little bit more in life, you think, wow, they really did know some stuff, and I should have been more respectful to my parents. So if you're a teen in this room, respect your parents. And if you're anybody in this room, respect your parents. Because there's no expiration date on this command. There's no exception clause here for, if you got rude parents, you don't have to respect them. This is a command every one of us need to figure out how to embrace in some way. So honor your parents. Sixth commandment, respect life. No murder, no killing. Right? Intentional or unintentional. The Hebrew word here covers both. Intentional murder and accidental homicide, both are included in this word, and it means respect life. God is commanding his people to be a kind of people who respect life. And we, last week, reminded ourselves, we live in a culture that does not respect life. And so here again, we are commanded to respect life. And this is God establishing his relationship with his people, telling us how to relate to one another, right? The first four commandments are essentially directed towards God. And the last are towards one another. So respect life. Seven, the seventh commandment, no adultery. Here, God is saying, respect one another's bodies. Sex is to be enjoyed within the context of marriage and marriage alone. Any sexual activity outside of the covenant bond of marriage is forbidden by the Lord God Almighty. And if we want to call ourselves followers of Christ, we need to find ways to embrace purity at every level. This includes pornography. Right? Imagining sexual activity with somebody else, Jesus also says is blameworthy. So don't think you're off the hook if you don't actually commit adultery. This all includes sexual faithfulness. So he says, keep yourself sexually pure for marriage and marriage alone. And then no stealing. Respect one another's property. Don't take what doesn't belong to you. Respect what belongs to someone else. And so respect one another's property. 9. No lying. Here, respect the truth. Cherish truth and do not be deceptive is sort of the flip side of that coin, right? You remember what Jesus said about a guy from, who was his name? Nathaniel, right? A man in whom there is no deceit. An honest person, a person who is truthful in all of his dealings. How many people can say that? I carefully, remember what David said, I put a guard over my lips, right? So I don't speak falsely. We have to speak truly. So no lying. And then lastly, no coveting. And this really gets to the heart of God's relationship with his people, because what does it mean to covet something? Coveting is a strong desire for something that's not yours. And there's a long list of things that are prohibited. Don't covet your neighbor's wife. Don't covet in his house or his employees, his maidservant, his manservant, his animals. Don't covet anything that doesn't belong to you. So he's saying, guard your heart. So we have to watch over our hearts. And Moses now says, and I'm going to quickly sum up. He says, this is everything that God spoke to you, and he didn't say another word. That was it. God spoke all of this to you, and that was all he said. Moses then says, and all of these things were so important, God wrote them down. So interesting, this is very unique. God speaking audibly to an entire group of people, and then God writing what he spoke down on the two tablets of stone, which Moses kept it in the Ark of the Covenant. God wrote down these things so that they would not be forgotten. And Moses then says, and when you saw and heard everything that God said, you were terrified in your hearts and you came to me and you said, can you please go near to him? You go near and hear what God says and we'll stay over here and then you come back and tell us, because they said, God is a consuming fire and we're afraid if we're too close to him, we'll be consumed. So there was this healthy sense of fear in them about reverencing God. And God said, okay, Moses, they're right in what they say. So he says, you stay near me, and I'll tell you everything else that I intended to say. Because he says, I'll tell you the whole commandment, and then you will teach them.
But one verse I want you to see, verse 29 in chapter 5. Here's the heart of what God says in response to that. 5:29, God says to Moses, he says, "Oh, that they had such a heart as this always to fear me, to keep my commandments, so that it might go well with them and with their descendants forever." Why does God want to be feared? So that he will be obeyed. Why does he want to be obeyed? So that it would go well with us who obey him and with our kids. God's heart is to bless people, and he wants it to go well with you and with your children forever. And so teaching to respect and revere him is crucial. And so Steve is actually going to spend a little more time on talking about this next Sunday, because there is this call to not only embrace God's commands, but to pass that on to the next generation. And so Moses sums all of this up, and he says, these are the statutes, the commandments, the rules that God commanded me to teach you. So let's conclude quickly. Observation. We need to be taught God's will and his word. We need help. We won't get it all. Moses is the one who helps to teach in this instance, but we too need teachers to help us understand. Observation number two, God wants a covenant relationship with his people. God wants a covenant relationship with his people. He gives the expectations and invites us into a relationship with him. Third observation, he wants it to go well with us and our children. He says that four times, one, two, three, four times in this little short few paragraphs that I just went over. Four times God says, I want it to go well with you and with your descendants forever. And so here the heart of God is his intent to bless. And then lastly, we're in a little bit of a pickle, because no one can keep the Ten Commandments. No one can do what God said to do. Not even Moses, we have seen. Even Moses is not going to be allowed to go into the promised land, and so we have a problem. How then do we have this relationship with God if it's established on a covenant? And that's where Jesus comes in. You see, they requested a mediator. Moses, you go over and stay near to him. God spoke this commandment, and what do we see? Jesus is the Word of God. He is the one who speaks God's words truly and rightly. And it is through him, because he alone kept this covenant. He is alone never broke God's promises. And so Jesus alone becomes the means or the mediator by which this covenant can be embraced. And so we can draw near to the Lord God Almighty through Christ. So Jesus becomes crucial in establishing a relationship with the Lord. And as God had said to the people, obey my commandments, Jesus, among his last recorded words in Matthew, said, here's my commandment. Go teach all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And that's how I'm going to mark my disciples. So this morning, we're going to obey that command. We're going to invite, we have three people coming to share their testimony of why they want to share with you their own faith. I'm just going to invite, Josh is going to start us off. Josh will come first. He will share his testimony, and then Ariana and then Kobe will come in a minute. But we will begin by obeying these commands as we have seen in Scripture. Josh, lead us off. Thank you.